All right. So last week, Glenn preached from Hebrews chapter 1. There we go. Good answer. A quick little side note, you may have noticed that Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1 doesn't start off like many of the other New Testament letters. Most of the other letters will start off with something like, this is the Apostle Paul writing together with Timothy, and this is who I'm writing to. Hebrews doesn't start off like that. We just jump straight in. And that's because it's not really a typical letter. It probably reads more like a preach or a sermon. We're not told who it is. It never signs off, never introduces himself, just jumps right in. And so for the purposes of this morning, I'm going to refer to whoever this person is that wrote this. I'm just going to refer to them as the preacher, because I think it really reads a lot like a preach. And so if you like having points for a sermon because it helps you to track and follow with me, here's my three points for this morning. Point number one, there's great news. Let's start off with some good news. And then there's an appeal, and then there's a warning. Things get a little bit more real. If at any point this morning you feel like you want to start throwing tomatoes at me, please don't. I'm going to stay with the text, with the Bible, and so you can throw some tomatoes at the Bible. Be upset with the Lord. Please don't be upset with me. I'm not planning on making anyone upset, I promise. So, this is our text from last week. This is what Glenn preached from. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. In the past, God spoke. I love that. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he also made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. And so as Glenn preached on this message, I felt, I don't know what quite the right adjective is. There's a resonating inside of me, a leaping. I know that doesn't sound particularly masculine for those of you who might, you know, I don't know. There's something inside of me that was going, oh, yes. There's something here that God is working on. And so God has spoken. That's huge. God has spoken by his Son. That's amazing. And if you continue to read through this whole sermon, letter, book, whatever you want to call it, maybe it'll take you about 30 minutes plus or minus. If you read it aloud, it's a good sermon length, right? But 30 minutes, you'll see that there's a bit of a theme of God speaking that keeps picking up throughout this whole message. And so the preacher seems very interested in bringing across that God has spoken by his Son. And then we get to chapter 12, verse 25. It's an exhortation, and it says, "See that you do not refuse him who is speaking." Oh, now that's interesting. Because chapter 1 says God has spoken, past tense, but now chapter 12 says he is speaking, present tense. And so not only has God spoken to us by Jesus, but the message that he spoke is still speaking to us today. And so God speaking by Jesus is very important for the message of the preacher. That God would speak to us is a very big deal. Who are you? Who am I that God should speak to me? Who are you that God should speak to you? You go back to Genesis 3, human history, right at the very beginning. Humanity pretty much told God to shove it. And if you're offended by that statement, well, you should be. Because it is offensive that we pretty much told God, "No, thanks very much, I'll do it my way." And you know what human history is? We've just done it again and again and again and again. We continue to prefer our way over God's way. Why should God speak to us? For what? For why? In Isaiah chapter 65, God speaks. Here's an example. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. To a nation that did not call on my name, I said, "Here am I, here am I." All day long I have held out my hands to an obstinate people who walk in ways not good, pursuing their own imaginations. A people who continually provoke me to my face. Right, any brothers here? Brothers, you got brothers? You know exactly what it's like to have someone provoke you to your face. Brothers are great like that. Hey? Provoking all the time, but not just subtle, like in your face. Glenn, you can't look at your children like that. Stop it. We have continually provoked God to his face. Guys, it's a big deal that God would want to speak to us. Because he's got every right to say, "I'm out." And it seems to be in the heart of God to move towards us, to make a way for us to be reconciled to him, to reveal himself, to come toward us with an appeal, with his hands held out to us. And it seems to be in the heart of humankind to find anything else rather than God. Thanks. So there must be a better way. There must be something else. No, I'm okay. I'm happy with this. Thank you. But God has spoken, and he's spoken by his very own son, Jesus. What's he spoken? An incredible message of reconciliation and salvation, an opportunity for us to come back to right relationship with him. Again, I asked the question, who are we? What makes us so great? We're not so great that God would want to be reconciled to us, and yet he loves us. That's who he is. That's his nature. He's made us, and he wants us to come into a right relationship with him. And so he offers us a covenant, a way for us to be with him, a new covenant through Jesus. It's not just through angels. Remember in like junior school or like even younger, where you like, tell that girl that I like her. So that your friend goes, be like, you know, someone likes you. Not that I'm encouraging our kids to do that, but I'm just saying we used to send like intermediaries, you know, like just a little messenger. And in the past, God sent messengers, angels on his behalf. That's a pretty big deal. We're talking about these spiritual beings sending a message on God's behalf. That's great. Hebrews chapter 1. Okay, cool. But Hebrews chapter 1 is also saying, but he's not sending intermediates anymore. He's come himself in the form of Jesus to speak. This is better. This is God himself come to speak to us. And what's the message that he's bringing? Well, it's even better than the message that was brought to us in the past. The way to be reconciled to God in the Old Testament was just a pointing towards the real. It was a shadow. Now there's something so much better to come. The Old Testament points to the New Testament. God has spoken in the past, but now he's spoken to us a better message by his son, a better messenger than came in the past. This salvation, this message of salvation from Jesus is amazing. And so we arrive at our text for today, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. We've said that there's great news. And so now the preacher moves to what I would say is an appeal. Chapter 2, verse 1. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we've heard. That's very interesting. In the whole of Hebrews chapter 1, this message of salvation is better. The person who brought the message is even better. I want you to pay attention, closer attention, the most attention, therefore, to the message that we've heard. What message have we heard? It's the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. And so we should pay attention to it. Parents, do you know what it's like to speak and for someone to not pay attention to you? Do you know what that's like? Any teachers here, you know what that's like, right? Maybe in your job, I don't know where, perhaps all of us know what it's like to speak and to have someone glaze over. Or some of us are guilty of this one. Yes, sweetie, you have no idea. You've gone on to autopilot. Those are the words, right? Don't nudge someone. Don't do it. It's not worth it. But you know what that is like. And so here he's saying we need to pay the most careful attention because it's possible to not pay attention. Why is it that we sometimes don't pay attention when someone's speaking? Have you ever thought about that? Why am I not listening to this person? Well, perhaps it's because the person is not highly esteemed. Right? You don't think much of them. Do you remember married couples when you were courting, dating? You would hold on to every word that person would say. Why? Because you thought they were awesome. You thought they were amazing. You thought they were wonderful. So you paid attention to everything that they've said. But you also know that there are people that you just don't listen to. I try to think of examples without, you know, offending anyone. So the example I thought of was when Linz was pregnant with our first son. You know, everything's a first, and so you remember everything. The poor second children. There's no photos of them. And anyway. Right, so walking through Somerset Mall when you're heavily pregnant, this was a bad experience for me. Because firstly, random strangers come up and just start rubbing. And you're like, sorry, wait, what? Whoa, personal space bubble here. Thanks very much. Then the second thing that amazed me was the amount of parenting advice that got dished out to us. I'm sorry, who are you? I have no idea. Do you have children? And are they decent people? You know, like, why are you even giving me advice? So no, I did not pay attention to the advice for parenting from complete and utter strangers. Because who are you? You have no right to speak into my life. Thank you very much. Sometimes we just don't pay attention because we don't think much of the person who's speaking to us. Then I tried to think of another good example. What would be a good example of someone that we would all esteem very highly? And if they spoke, we would just kind of listen. And I can't really go for the president because most of us... imagine Nelson Mandela was still alive, right? Imagine he was still alive. And he came into the room and he said, Cecilia, can I just chat with you quickly? I'm hoping what Cecilia would do is, yes, sir, Mr. Mandela. And she'd go out to the back and then she would listen, like with every possible faculty that she has. What is it that you have to say? It's because Nelson Mandela wanted to speak to you, because we esteem him, we value him. And as she comes back, most of us, probably all of us, what did he say? I'm listening. What did he tell you? What did he want to say? I'm paying attention because I value the person who is speaking. Sometimes we don't listen because I'm not particularly interested in the content of what you're saying. Every student who's ever fallen asleep in a class. Why? It's because it's boring. It's because I don't care. Right? Kate's not here. She's a maths teacher. Right, maths class. Why are we falling asleep in maths class? What value has this in my life? You know, well, you know, a degree and, you know, okay, fine. But in the greatest, you know, like, how is geometry going to help me sort out my relational issues that I have right now? You know, I'm going to get hate mail from parents. Sorry. It's important. Don't hear what I'm not saying. Right? I'm just saying in the moment, you don't understand that it's actually valuable. There we go. Right? And so, why is it that we can listen to a 70-minute lecture from someone? Let's say Professor John Lennox. I can listen to that guy for hours. Why? Because he's answering the questions that I really have. The deep and important questions. And he's doing it in a way that's really intelligent and so helpful. 70 minutes goes like this. Speak some more, Professor Lennox. I am interested. Why can I pay attention to him and I couldn't do that in grade 9 maths? Because I didn't get it. I didn't understand the importance of grade 9 maths. And so not only is it sometimes the status of the person who's speaking to us, but maybe we just don't care about what it is that they are saying. Sometimes we're distracted. That's why we don't pay attention. Right? Maybe it's work. Maybe it's family. Maybe it's heartache and pain that's distracting you. Maybe it's selfishness. Maybe it's idolatry in our lives. Maybe it's service. Maybe it's really good things that are distracting us from the best things, but we still think that they're good. For whatever reason, we get distracted. For whatever reason, we don't pay attention. And so the speaker here is saying we need to pay more careful attention to the message that we've heard. That's encouraging and convicting for me. Why am I not paying attention? Is it because the value of the message, I don't get it? Is it because, well, it's just God and we hear him all the time and it's just, you know, every Sunday and blah, 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 blah. Did you ever watch the Peanuts cartoons? Hey? And every time there's an adult, blah, 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 blah. Hey? Is that what it's like when me, preach? Yeah.
Yes.
No Christmas presents for you, nephew. So very interesting. Chapter 2, verse 1. We must pay the most careful attention to what we have heard. Why? Why must we pay attention? So that we do not drift away. Drifting is easy. It's passive. I'm not actively doing it. The current is just gently taking me. In fact, it might even be calming. Oh, this is lovely. But it's taking me away from where I want to be. And if you're in the ocean, it's possibly taking you away from safety into somewhere that's dangerous. And so what does the preacher, what does the writer mean by drift away? I think we need to read through the rest of Hebrews to really understand what he's talking about. I think he brings the answer later on. So I'm going to offer you a summary. I want to encourage you, read through this whole letter to Hebrews, this whole book. Do it. If not in one sitting, give yourself a couple of days. That's great. But there's some amazing truths that we need today. So what does it mean to drift away? I would summarize it like this. To drift is to not apply your faith when you hear the message of salvation. The message that Jesus has brought is to hear it and not do anything about it. And that is what we mean to slowly drift. Later on, he talks about not being able to enter God's rest, not being able to enter into the promise. Now, just for clarity here, he's not talking about losing your salvation. And a second disclaimer, I'm not even going to start the debate about whether or not that's possible. I don't think that's what he's getting to here. So that's not up for the debate. I think what he's talking about is entering into the fullness of salvation. If you've been given salvation and you've stepped into salvation, there's a whole land waiting for you, and we stand right here. I'm in. No, no, there's so much to explore. No, but I'm in. No. No, you're not applying any faith. You're not paying attention. You're just drifting. It's possible for Christians to enter into eternity with Jesus with no reward, I think is part of the message of Hebrews. And it's possible to enter into eternity with Jesus with a great reward. So what is it that you want? Well, there's an exhortation, an encouragement, an urging in this letter. Step into more of the reward. Step into more of the salvation. Live in the fullness. Live up to the salvation that has been bought for you and given to you. And so we need to pay more careful attention so that we don't drift away. Don't allow yourself to be distracted. It's worth taking a little pause. As you read scripture, sometimes it's worth just stopping and going, what am I going to do about that? And so as we read this, what is paying careful attention so that we don't drift away look like for you? What is applying your faith and responding to the message of salvation that Jesus has spoken? What does that look like for you? Well, for some of us, perhaps that would look like stopping something that's distracting you. Perhaps that is getting rid of the pornography that you've been watching. Perhaps that is turning off devices at 8 p.m. at night. Perhaps that's meeting with those people less often. I don't know. What does that look like for you? Maybe the Holy Spirit's just putting his finger on something right now where you are. It's different for everybody. Maybe there's something that you should start doing. Maybe you've not actually joined a life group yet. What a great thing to do. Get into a life group where people can encourage you midweek so that you are less distracted and more focused. Pay attention more to the message of salvation that Jesus has brought. Maybe that would look like reading your Bible for 15 minutes every day and then praying for 15 minutes every day. I don't know. What does it look like for you to pay attention so that you don't drift? Maybe stopping something, maybe starting something. So we've said there's great news. This message of salvation that Jesus has brought is quite something. It is not blah, 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 blah. No, it's amazing. And it's worth reflecting on that. There is also an appeal then, because of the greatness of the message and the greatness of the messenger, there's an appeal that we should pay attention so that we don't drift. That one presses me a little bit. Pay attention. I get into neutral so quickly. Anyone? Neutral. No, don't do that. Get into gear. And then thirdly, there's a warning. There's a warning. Kind of like verse 1, he's going to double down on it a little bit more and add some more weight. And so the preacher warns us that ignoring this great and wonderful message of salvation, to ignore it would be a very bad thing. Verse 2, for since the message spoken through angels was binding, we need to press a pause there, because if we read the whole sentence, some of us might, what? What is he talking about? What message was spoken through the angels and was binding? Well, in Jewish tradition, it was understood that the Old Testament, the Mosaic law, was mediated and administered by angels. They were brought by angels to God's people. So, for example, in Acts chapter 7, the disciple Stephen stands up and he preaches to a whole crowd of people. And at one point he says, and now you have betrayed and murdered him, Jesus, you who received the law that was given through angels, but have not obeyed it. Or the Apostle Paul writes in Galatians 3:19, the law was, quote, put in place through angels by an intermediary. So it's very clear that the understanding was that it was the Old Testament Mosaic law, that it was angels who brought that. So we see then in verse 2, the message that was spoken through angels, the Mosaic law, the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment. So under that Mosaic law, there were very strict rules. You break him, there's consequences. And that punishment was dished out to people who broke that. And so what the preacher is saying here is, in the past, God brought the old covenant, and that was binding. And there was punishment if you broke that. He's saying, but now we've got a better messenger with a better covenant. Don't ignore it. Because people were held to account for the old covenant. Don't mess around with the new covenant. Don't do it. And so at this point, please hold back your tomatoes. Just, there it is. It's in your Bibles. There in front of you. What are we to do with this? This is getting up in our face a little bit. For since the message spoken through angels was binding the old covenant, the old law, every violation and disobedience received its just punishment. Verse 3, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? What Jesus has purchased for you and for me, I can't just ignore it. Now, let's just, for the sake of extra clarity, let's make sure we're not misunderstanding this. Who is the preacher preaching to? To people who don't know Jesus or those who do know Jesus? Oh, he's preaching to Christians. He's preaching to people who've stepped into salvation. And so he's not saying, how shall we escape if we reject such a great salvation? He's not saying, respond, y'all. Become followers of Jesus. He's saying, followers of Jesus, don't ignore it. You've stepped into salvation. Live in it. Live up to. Live in the fullness of it. How shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? Other translations say, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? This is not a ticket to heaven. So thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. Amen. We're done and dusted. No. Okay, you've stepped into salvation. That's great. Don't neglect it. Don't ignore it. Jesus speaks today still through the message that he spoke 2,000 years ago. And just to add a little bit of extra weight to his argument, he carries on. This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, Jesus, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it, this message, by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. So here I think is what he's saying. Jesus proclaimed this message of salvation, this message of the new covenant. The apostles who were with him heard it. They've confirmed that this is what we heard, and they've told it to us. And then God got involved and confirmed it with powerful signs and wonders and miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit. I like that. For those of us who are wondering about miracles and gifts of the Spirit, what's the point? To confirm the message of Jesus. To point us back to the gospel. All those signs, all those wonderful things point us back. It confirms. This is what Jesus has done for you. Points us back. And so, there it is. In summary, I think we've got another slide without the red. There we go. That's our text for today. As we read the scriptures, we must then respond. What will you do with this? What will I do with this? Maybe there's a fresh desire in you to know the greatness of the salvation that you have stepped into. Maybe there's something in you that's like, okay, there's actually more. I want to know what that is. What a great prayer to pray. God, help me get it. Help me get it some more. Help me to live in this all the more. Now, for me personally, this is the point that I get the most excited about. Jesus, you're the better messenger with the better message. I don't think I get it enough. Please help me to get it some more. Help me to see it. Help me to live in it. There's something amazing here. Maybe for you, what you would do with this is, okay, I've got to work at paying attention a little bit more. Maybe there's something that you're like, okay, I got to stop doing something because I'm getting distracted. Maybe I need to start doing something to help me to pay attention some more. What a great moment. Just in a couple of minutes, there's an opportunity to pray. What a great prayer to pray. God, help me. You know what would be really great? If there's something you want to stop doing or something you want to start doing, tell someone. Before you go home and go, nah, it was just a thing. No, tell someone so that they can ask you tomorrow. How's it going? Right? Tell someone before we leave today, please. Maybe the warning in this message, that verse 3 and 4, maybe that's really hit home for you and you've taken it to heart. There's a big warning that's come your way. And I want to encourage you to take that warning seriously, but I also want to remind you that there's grace and life that comes with the warning. What's the warning doing? Pointing you back to something that's wonderful. Something that is wonderful. Not just big stick. No. Wonderful salvation. Wonderful God. Wonderful message. Step into it and live in what Jesus has already bought for you. Maybe you're here and you're not a Christ follower. Maybe this message of salvation for you is an offer to step into it for the very first time. I want to let you know that Jesus came for you personally. He took the consequences of your rebellion against God. He took that punishment on himself and he died for you. And to prove that your sin was dealt with, God raised this Jesus from the dead. And now that he's alive, he offers you his life if you would give him yours. In this moment, just in your heart, quietly, you can pray and just, Jesus, I acknowledge I've rebelled against you. You can pray that right now. God, I've rebelled against you. I've rejected you. Please forgive me. Thank you for the cross of Jesus. Thank you for taking on the punishment for my sin. Thank you for new life. I give you my life. Please give me new life. If you prayed that and you meant it, it's done. It's done right there. You've stepped into a whole new land, a whole new world. And I want to encourage you, if you prayed that, would you please come after the meeting and tell me? I'd love to hear about that. I'd love to speak with you and just help you on your new journey of faith. And then for all of us, everyone here, this message of salvation that Jesus spoke and that is still speaking to us, it's an amazing message. It's life and it's freedom. And there is a response that we should make to these four verses. And so I want to invite you in a couple of minutes to go and fetch some bread and some juice at the back. And then to do business with God. I'd love for us to take 5 minutes. We'll put some soft music in the background so it's not deathly silent and awkward. And then for you to do business with God. The bread reminds us of Jesus' body broken for us. The juice reminds us of Jesus' blood shed for us. We do it in remembrance of him. And as you do that, whatever you feel like God has put on your heart this morning, I encourage you to spend some time praying. And so if you want to take communion, you want to pray by yourself, I want to invite you to do that. I think that's great. If you'd still like to do communion and pray with people, that's also wonderful. Please feel free to do that. We'll take 5 minutes, and then Jono will call the meeting together, and then we'll respond to God in worship. Before we fetch some bread and some juice, I'd love to pray for us, and then we can go into a time of prayer and communion. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the message that you spoke through Jesus 2,000 years ago, and this message of salvation that you still speak to us today. Holy Spirit, would you please open our hearts to the wonders and the enormity and the greatness of this salvation. Open our hearts afresh to the wonders and the enormity and the greatness of Jesus who brings this message. Please give us courage to respond appropriately. Please give us faith. Please help us to hear what it is that you are saying. If there's anything, Lord, that I've said that is not from your heart, God, I pray that we'd forget it. May it just dissolve. But Lord, if there's something that you are saying, please would you press that onto our heart. Please would you highlight it. Please would you bug us. Please would you encourage us. Please would you remind us. Help us to respond now appropriately as we take communion and as we pray and as we worship later. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.